All right, let's begin this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Chapter 3. Just after the Psalms and Proverbs and those books in there.
Good.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that that you have us in your mind, Father. That you think of us. That you provide for us. That you bring us together here and give us good fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you, Father, for all of your grace and mercies to us. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us throughout the service through your word and by your Holy Spirit. In our Savior's name, amen. Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. Let's read the first 8 verses. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. All right, we are concluding now this morning our series in the fundamentals of dispensationalism. Thank you, Myrtle. This will be our last message, and I wanted to end this series here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because this really is, I've always seen Ecclesiastes chapter 3 as kind of the 2 Timothy 2:15 of the Old Testament. It's about right division, and it's about there being a time and a season to all of God's purpose. And that's what we've been looking at throughout these last few months now, that God does what that first clause in verse 11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And that's what we've been seeing throughout this series. And when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth, and when you start to do that, and to do that with real practical application, in not only in your study of the Word of God, but of course we study the Word of God in order to take that and internalize that in our life, and you begin to think about God and the way that He does what he does according to times and seasons and with purpose, and you realize that one of the amazing and wonderful and you know, one of the so many amazing and wonderful and just beautiful things about God is that he's able to change without ever changing. And he not only does he endure change, but he affects it when it's time. And all of these things here in this in this passage relate to God and to you and me and in our lives. And there is a real sense in which we come to understand, through understanding the Bible rightly divided, we come to get a firm grasp on life rightly divided, and the fact that there is a time and a season to every purpose under heaven. And verse 2 there starts out with that just wonderful list that goes for 7 verses there. A time to be born and a time to die. And that's a good place to start, I think, because that kind of covers it all, doesn't it? There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Now, come with me. We're going to do a lot of running this morning, Lord willing. Get Galatians 4:4 and Romans 5:6. Galatians 4 and Romans 5. You know, there came a day when God created a man, right? Put him in the garden, and Luke tells us that that man was the son of God, Adam. And there was a time for him to be born. And God told him, you can eat from all of the fruit of all of these trees except for this one. In the day that you eat from this one, you're going to die. And the time came when God's first son, chronologically speaking, ate from that tree. And what the Lord did was he cast him out of the garden. He says, lest he should put forth his hand and take from the tree of life and live forever. So God knew that it was time for Adam to die. And that's how he allowed. It wasn't his will for that to happen, but he knew that it was time. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So there was a time for Christ to be born. And he was born according to the due time. To everything, there is a season and a time. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So when God says there's a time to be born and a time to die, we might be tempted to look at that and say, well, you know, Lord, that's easy for you to say because you don't have to die. But he did. He fixed it. In the due time, he put himself in a position so that at a later due time, he would die. So when you and I face those life-changing times, one way or the other, we have a God who is able not only to endure change, but to accept, and when it's appropriate, to actually affect it. That's hard for us to do. I know for myself, I'm very much a creature of habit. And change is very hard for me. But one thing about that passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, life is all about change, right? Back in that back in our passage, put something there, please, because we'll be going back and forth, Ecclesiastes 3. And God knows that, and he's been through it. And he knows how to, like I said, he knows how to change without ever changing. without ever letting the change change him. And that's what you and I are called to do. To be able to laugh and celebrate. God laughs and he celebrates without ever losing grip on his holiness. You know, sometimes people laugh and celebrate and just fly off, lose control doing that, right? God laughs and celebrates. He doesn't lose control. Never changes his holiness. God also grieves and mourns without ever letting it move him to ungodliness. He knows how to respond. He knows how to respond to different circumstances. And if rightly dividing the word of truth teaches us anything about God himself, it's that he is able to act and react and respond to infinite situations in an infinite number of different ways without ever changing, without ever losing his integrity, without ever giving up godliness, holiness. And you and I are called to do that. To understand that, you know, times and seasons are, they're called times and seasons for a reason. Those words are temporal words. They're temporary. Things change. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2 again, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I'm going to just remind you here so that we can make it through this passage. You remember, all of these verses remind me of verses that we've looked at throughout this series. You remember Luke 13, when God planted a fig tree in his garden and it wasn't bringing forth fruit, and God says, cut the thing down. And the Lord's, you know, 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and why cumbereth it the ground? And the Lord says, don't cut it down yet. Give it another year. And we saw how that grace was extended to Israel over those first seven chapters of the book of Acts. But then there came a time. There came a time to cut down, to pluck up that which was planted. And when we talk about these things, we need to understand that God, I mean, you and I are created in his image. He feels, you know, the same way that you and I feel. And Israel was the apple of his eye. And it came time to cut it down. And when it was the due time, he took the appropriate action. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. Look in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You know, we send our young men and women off to defend the liberties of this country, and there comes a time to kill, and then they come home and there's a time to heal. And God is able to affect all of these things in their time. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. We remember this passage, right? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And we know, we've looked at that passage, what the Lord does there, as he rightly divides the word of truth. He takes that passage from Isaiah, and he talks about healing. And he quotes the restoration and the salvation and the healing in that passage. And he stops, because that passage goes on to talk about a time to kill, the days of vengeance, when the Lord will return in flaming fire. But he doesn't quote that part. He quotes the healing part, and he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Later on, he tells his disciples, when he's talking about the tribulation period, "Then shall be the days of vengeance, and it'll be time to kill." Then it wasn't. So, does God do what he does out of some uncontrollable passion? Or does he do what he does because it's appropriate and it's right and it's in keeping with his integrity and recognizing the time? And again, for you and me, we're created in his image, and you and I as Christians are after God, created in righteousness and true holiness, so that we can be godly in our lives. Do you have the ability to rightly divide your life the way God does? Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time to kill, verse 3, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. We know what that is, right? Come over to Ephesians chapter 2. The Lord, when the time was appropriate, built a wall, didn't he? Between Jew and Gentile. All the way back in Egypt, as those plagues started coming, the Lord said, "Here's what's going to happen. It's going to fall on Egypt. And they're going to see darkness, but you're going to see light. And their cattle are going to die, but yours won't. And their firstborn is going to be destroyed, but yours, not a dog will wag his tongue against you." And the reason that he did that, he says, is that they might know that there's a difference. That God puts a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And that was the time for that, to build up that wall. Then there came a time to break down that wall. So that today, Paul says, there is no difference. No difference between Jew and Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So for God, there was a time to build up, and there was a time to break down. And for you and me, come back just a couple of pages to Galatians, in chapter 2. We've been talking during this series about how important it is to know, for me and you to know God's timing. And to be doing what God's doing when he's doing it. Not to be trying to do something that God isn't doing anymore. Galatians chapter 2, Verse 17, Paul scolding Peter. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Well, what's Paul talking about? Did he catch Peter in some kind of sin? Well, yeah, he did. It wasn't the kind of thing that you and I generally think about when we talk about sin. What was the sin? Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. See, that's what Peter did. God tore down the wall. Peter was trying to build it back up again, separating himself from the Gentiles and so forth. And Paul says that's sin, what you're doing there, because you're outside of God's time. There's a time to build up and a time to break down. That's true in your life and mine. There's a time to set things up. And then there's a time to say, you know what? This thing has served its purpose, its usefulness. It's time to move on. Sometimes we build things into our life that kind of take on a life of their own, and we allow them to continue to exist because they just always have, or they have for so long. And we don't like to change. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there is a time, and we could look at verses. You know, the Lord told those people, He said, blessed are you that mourn now, for you're going to laugh then. And woe to you that laugh now, because you're going to mourn then. See, there's a time. There's a time to laugh and a time to mourn. Now what that means is that when it comes time for me, you know, that's easy in the time to laugh, right? I can deal with that. It's the time to mourn. It's a little less easy. But there's a time. That's what, you know, this whole purpose of God as He moves through these changes. I mean, when you take that and you bring that home, and you take it for yourself, you realize that as you're going through changes in your life, God is too. And for Him, it's actually by design. Because change isn't necessarily bad in and of itself. Although I argue with myself when I say that, because I don't like it. But knowing that God is a God who can change without ever changing is a tremendous help to me. There's a time to laugh and time to weep and time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, verse 5, and a time to gather stones together. Let's take a look at this one. Get Matthew 24 and we're going to get Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah, just towards the end of your Old Testament, 6 and Matthew 24. Ever have to cast away stones? When we moved into our house, there was a side yard that had been converted into an RV parking spot, and it was just all gravel. And we had to get the guy to come in there and dig up and scrape up all of that stone and haul it away. We planted grass, and then it poured that day, and all the seed washed out into the street. But then a couple of weeks later, we've got some hedges along the side, and I said, you know what would look really great here? Some gravel down around. Too bad we didn't save any. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, right? Matthew 24, I'll get there in a minute. In Zechariah chapter 6. Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So there's a time to cast away stones for God, right? Zechariah chapter 6, and verse 12 says, Speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So there's a time to cast away stones, and there's a time to gather stones together. The Lord said, you know what you guys are doing? You're fulfilling that old prophecy that the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, right? There's a time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. The Lord says, this temple's going to be torn down, not one stone left on another. But in the due time, he's going to rebuild it again. That temple is precious to him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 again. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Look at back just a little bit to Proverbs chapter 5. In Hosea 2, where we're not going, we've looked at that passage in this series. That's where the Lord divorces Israel, right? They went out and they played the harlot with all of these other gods. And God says, I'm not going to be your husband anymore. Again, this is the apple of his eye. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Solomon talks about it here for you and me in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. He says, Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Well, that's always good advice. Don't go drinking water out of your neighbor's well, right? Well, what's he talking about? Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? So there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. And, you know, as Solomon goes through here, if you're familiar with the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs, he talks a lot about this, not getting involved. He's talking to his son through here, not getting involved with that strange woman. And as you go through that, you understand what he's saying, and the advice is very good and very practical and very much needed for men and for women. But you begin to realize as you read through that he's not just talking about, you know, carnal relations. But he's talking that strange woman, as you read through these first 10 chapters, is that thing that will pull you away from God. Essentially, it is religion. You read through there, we don't have time to do the study. But he's warning that she seduces and she draws the foolish and the unlearned as they're walking away. She's standing out on the street corner, alluring them. And he goes, Solomon says, like an ox to the slaughter. And her steps decline unto death and take hold on hell, and he that is trapped there never comes out. And that's good application in both senses, right? There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. Be careful what and who you embrace, right? Back in Ecclesiastes, verse 6, there's a time to get and a time to lose. The Lord told his disciples, especially the 12, they came to him and they said, Lord, we've given up lands and houses and our family and everything else. What are we going to get? He says, all you've lost all of that. All you've lost family. And you've lost property. And you've lost things that were dear to you. And he says, in that time, when it's time, you're going to gain back 100-fold. That'll be the time to get. Sometimes in this life, it's time to lose. But remember, times and seasons are temporary. Right? There's a time to every purpose. Come over with me at this point. We're in Ecclesiastes 3. Look a couple chapters later in chapter 7. And I've given you these, I know I've mentioned these verses to you before, I'm sure you've seen them yourself. But there's a couple of verses here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that are very helpful to me and come to my mind at least weekly, if not sometimes, depending on the circumstances of my life, every day, that I find helpful. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So, there's the changes in the seasons of our life, basically, prosperity and adversity, right? Sometimes there's good times, and sometimes there's bad times. And usually that verse comes to my mind in a time of adversity. And what Solomon says there is, in the day of adversity, consider. Think about these things that Solomon is talking about here. Times and seasons and the purpose. The purpose, Solomon says, is to the end that man should find nothing after God. The changes and the adversity and the prosperity, all these things, the fact that it's unpredictable is meant to leave us with nothing but God. That's the purpose. And that, how could there be a better thing than for me to have adversity in my life to that end? But you know what, too? In the day of prosperity, I have to think about this verse, too. Because I'm the kind of person in my nature that when things are going good, I'm generally waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Because I know that what follows the day of prosperity? The day of adversity. Things are going good. Something's going to happen, right? Solomon says, look, yeah, something, the other shoe's going to drop. Something bad is going to happen, okay? So we understand that. Now that you got that, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy it. You getting too happy isn't going to make the bad thing happen, okay? If I get too psyched about this, I'm going to be let down. Well, you know what? You're going to be let down whether you get psyched about it or not. So get psyched. Why not, right? Be in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. You know, talking about time to be born and a time to die, Paul talks about our death with the Lord, right? Every time you come up against a temptation, it's time to die. It's time to what Paul says, reckon yourself. See, that's what Solomon is saying here. Consider. Reckon. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. So you come up against a temptation and you go, Lord, another opportunity to die. Thank you. And you go on, right? Because there's a time for these things. And the other verse I wanted to show you in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that I think I don't have to comment on too much. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. The former days were always better than these, right? The good old days. Solomon says, don't do that. Now's the time. Now's the time to enjoy what God is doing in your life. Those are helpful to me. Back in chapter 3, with relation to change and things that happen, do you take right division to heart? Is it just something you know? Or is it something you live? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 6, there's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. We got to look at this one. Romans 11. We're really kind of doing a review this morning, aren't we? Most of these verses we've looked at through this series. Romans chapter 11. And that's why I say to you that Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is, to my mind, the 2 Timothy 2:15 of the Old Testament. Understand times and seasons and the purposes that they're connected with. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So there was a time for God to cast away. And we've been studying that. And we've seen how He does that and how He does that in His time. But, you know, we've gone through this passage and I've been telling you that there's a fourfold kind of a process that Israel goes through here. They stumble, they fall, they diminish, they're cast away. But there's actually a fivefold process in this passage, isn't there? Because again, in verse 15, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So actually they stumble, they fall, they diminish, they're cast away, and then they're received back again. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. That nation that God, when it was time to cast away, He cast them away. But there's going to be another time. when he's going to receive them and again, and it's going to be a resurrection. It's going to be life from the dead for you and for me. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. I won't make fun of myself and what a hoarder I am, and that I never like to throw things away, but there's a time to throw stuff away. And that relates to stuff, relates to habits, relates to all kind of things in our life. There's a time to say, you know what? Henceforth, no more. It's gone. Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 7. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. Let's look at this one. I'm trying to edit myself here as we go, and hopefully we'll make it through, but I want to show you these verses. 1 Kings 11. I want you to see how this passage is really, God isn't telling us anything here that he doesn't do himself, that he doesn't go through himself. 1 Kings 11. And in verse 9, 1 Kings 11, verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon who wrote Ecclesiastes, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. So Solomon says, there's a time to rend. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So there came a time when the Lord has to take that kingdom that he's building, that we've been looking at through this series, his house. And he's got to rip it in two. So there comes a time for that, and he does it. When Solomon's son is born, the kingdom is rent from him, split 10 tribes here, 2 tribes there. Then, and we won't go there, but let me give you the reference in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 to 22 and around there. God tells Ezekiel, he says, here's what you do. I want you to go and get 2 sticks. And one is for Israel and one is for Judah, and I want you to put them together in your hand and show them that. And when they ask you, what are you doing? Say, these are the 2 kingdoms. They're not going to be 2 kingdoms anymore. They're going to be one. There's going to come a time when God's going to sow what he rent, and he's going to put that back together under the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time to rend and there's a time to sow. Back in Ecclesiastes, a time to keep silence, verse 7, and a time to speak. You know, Sir Robert Anderson wrote an excellent book called The Silence of God. And he talks about why isn't God, you know, giving revelation today like he used to, and why isn't he splitting the seas and doing all these things? And it's about the dispensation of grace. Sir Robert Anderson was well ahead of his time, and that God in one sense, is silent today in the way that when it was time for him to speak to the prophets, he did that. Today he's not, but yet he speaks, doesn't he? He's able to be silent because his word is now complete. And God is going to be silent in that tribulation period. And the psalmist throughout those psalms says, Lord, why are you keeping silent? Speak. And there's going to come a time when he's going to speak. The psalmist says he's going to speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. When it's time for God to speak, he'll speak. When it's time for him to keep silence, he knows how to do that. We're created in His image, right? Do you know when it's time to keep silent? Do you know when it's time to speak? And not keep your mouth shut. You know, Solomon, again, he's got two verses in the Proverbs we won't look at, right there, back to back. He says, answer a fool according to his folly, right? Lest he be wise in his own conceits. Next verse says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. So should I answer a fool or shouldn't I answer a fool? Depends what kind of fool you got, I guess. Depends what kind of fool I am, I don't know. Time and discernment, judgment. There's a time to speak, there's a time to keep silent. Don't keep silence when it's time to speak. And when it's time to keep silence, keep your mouth shut. See, God is able to do all of this without losing control. Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You know, Jesus said, you heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, right? That was Old Testament stuff. He says, I say to you, love your enemy. The time has come to love. There was a time to hate. The psalmist again says, Lord, I hate them that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. 137th Psalm. There was a time for perfect hatred. Now is not that time. It's a time for love. I'm going to take my 2 minutes that I'm already over to get these, get Revelation 19. Along with, we'll do Romans chapter 1, and we could actually do any first chapter of any of Paul's epistles. So we'll take the first, Romans chapter 1, Revelation 19. There's a time for war and a time for peace. Romans 1, Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 11, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And this is John, he's describing the second advent of Christ. When he comes back, that time there in Acts chapter 7, 2,000 years ago, when he was standing at the right hand of God, it was time for that. Time to judge and make war. But instead, what did he do? Romans 1, verse 7. Paul, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, judgment and war was coming. The opposite of judgment and war is grace and peace. And it was time for judgment and war. But God made an executive decision. He said, you know what? This time, I'm not going to do what it's time for. I'm going to do something else. Now, we know that he had that something else in mind from before the foundation of the world, and it actually was time. But there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Where you and I live today, because of what God has done, it's the time of peace. It's a time of peace with each other. It's the time of peace between you and the world out there. I know that's a tough one. It's a time of peace between you and politicians. Peace between you and military people. What's your soapbox? You know what? It's not a time of peace. It's not a time of peace with principalities and powers in heavenly places. We're at war with them. But God's at peace with this world. You and I are created in holiness after Him, right? It's a time of peace. There will be a time for judgment and war. Today is a time of peace. Praise God. Do you have a question? Yes, Lauren. Yeah. I believe it was 37. Let me make sure. I'm going to look at Ezekiel 37:15 and make sure I'm giving you the right address. Yep. Ezekiel 37:15 through around verse 22 or so. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Adam in the garden and Eve in the garden. Time was their ally. They had nothing to look forward to, but ever since the fall, time has become man's enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the loss, of course, it's eat, drink, and be merry. They try to put the future off.
Yeah.
And of course, for believers, even though we are believers, we still have the sinful tendency to want to extricate ourselves out of time, fantasizing about the future. That's a sinful act. Overly fantasizing,
yeah,
about the future. Or on the other end of the spectrum, procrastinating. We want to take ourselves out of time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a sinful tendency. In fact, all the New Age religions, in the pantheistic religions, they tried, their whole mode of spirituality is that they, all is God and God is all. They try to live their whole life outside of time completely.
Yeah, right.
They try to completely eliminate it from their thought processes. So it's something that the believer really has to guard against. It is a sinful tendency to procrastinate and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's just a natural tendency of a fallen human being to want to do that.
Yeah,
and
excellent. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Yeah. We are in the reality that God put us in, and He has a purpose for it. Don't try to remove yourself from it. Yeah. What did you have, Julia?
Did you ever get so much stuff that the whole time we were talking, I could have just like burst.
Should I apologize? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Okay.
Yeah, cut that out.
Stop making people burst.
But anyway, if you'll bear with me, I got so much.
Oh, praise God. Bring it on.
First, that you were saying about God not changing, and praise God for that he doesn't change.
Yeah.
How He wants us to change by repentance and changing,
yeah,
our ways. But we're changing our ways, not changing us.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, and what that's doing is getting us back to how we were supposed to.
Yeah, and getting us to the position that God has given to us.
Right.
Recognizing your reality.
Right,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so that was one thing. And then the fig tree and all that, and the time pass I got from that too, also that reply like to the wheat and the tares.
Yep.
I kept going back to all the stories that I read and going and thinking about it being what we've been talking about, that we're supposed to get our knowledge, we're supposed to learn from the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, the wheat and the tares, and that God does what He does, you know, because He said He would, because we go by consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and He says, this is what I'm going to do if you do this.
Right.
And He has to do that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And building up and breaking down, I was thinking of the wall of Jericho.
Yeah.
That there was a time for people had to build that because there was going to come a time that God had to build
it. Yeah. Very good.
And weeping and laughing, and when people would be on the road and people would die, and God said, there's a time to weep, okay, here, take this much time, and then you need to move on.
Yeah, He actually sets a mourning time in the Old Testament, 30 days,
mourn
30 days, and move on. Yeah.
said the thing about the marriage, or the to embrace and refrain from embracing, and I got out of that was a time to embrace would be marriage and doing it the right way, and a time to not embrace would be immorality and
anything outside of marriage. Right.
And to get, and a time to get, and a time to lose. That Paul says, you know, he'd give it all up for Christ. You know, everything that he had, there was a time to get, and he got all of his life, and he ended up getting it, giving it all away.
Yeah.
I thought there was a time for him to,
excellent,
to
yeah,
have to lose that.
Yeah.
And for us to keep in mind that this too shall pass. So everything that we get, it will pass.
Right.
And that when we are saved, we get. And we get Christ,
we
and
get,
lose ourselves.
We get and we lose, yeah. Yeah. Very good. I'm going to let you do the next. I'm going to let you do the next study. This is great, great stuff.
It was awesome. I was just sitting here and I was like bubbling inside. I couldn't hardly contain. I almost wanted to stop you a few times. It's like I got to get it out.
And if she doesn't get it out now, I'll be hearing
it. You'll still hear it. All right.
To keep and to cast away, that we, and for me that was more to keep our gospel and to cast away false beliefs.
Yeah.
And so that we can, we have the choice of tearing down or edifying.
Yeah.
Bible works on many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the love and hate, what I could get out of that was the love, the, we can love the Lord and hate sin.
Yeah.
And
we can love the sinner and hate sin. Right.
And the war and peace, the war is for the unsaved and the peace is for saved.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're created in war. Because, I mean, Europe has done it. We travail, we have problems and all that. I mean, so.
Yeah, we are living in a war zone, aren't we? Yeah.
That's it, thank you.
Good job.
The most profound weeping and rejoicing is when Christ died
and rose again. There you go.
See, that's the profound.
There you go. There's the capstone. Thank you, sir. All right. Thanks, y'all. The enemy, yeah, it was time for Satan to weep then, eh?